All right. Good evening, everyone.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm pretty sure I pushed all the buttons this time. I see
Okay, good.
my levels, I see your levels. We're going.
And I'm using the right microphone this
I
time.
know, it's crazy. Like it's like we did things right.
Well, my Skype crashed last week and it reverted to what I usually use. Because I send you my webcam audio when I'm streaming. So I generally keep it on that, so I don't have to turn this thing on. And it just must have reverted back to my original settings when it crashed last week.
Yeah, so
Here we are.
here we
Here,
are.
with some high voltage screaming action.
High voltage screaming action, indeed. Anyone want to take guess where that voice came from?
You never know. But I'd be surprised.
But yeah, so I mean these are a couple of games that I've wanted to do a video on for a while.
You were kind of you wanted like more of a laid back.
Oh yeah, I wanted an easy episode, and of all the game episodes I had planned, I thought this would be the easiest, in part because I knew I could get through the games quickly. I knew that. I mean, you know, I
Need a little break after two consecutive
RGBs,
RGB episodes.
And I haven't done this is my first the first game focused episode that I have done since
Since
Conquer,
Conquer.
which is insane. That was like I think it was either late March or early April.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, I did the Gunner's Heaven, and that was my first one since Time Crisis, which was in February.
Wow, man. You know, I was telling you a day or two ago that I was thinking about, you know, last week, you know, we were kind of talking about what episodes we were most proud of, and it occurred to me, I'm like, man, Time Crisis should be top in your list because I think that's our best showcase episode.
It's a cool episode. It's cool.
I mean, covering the whole series, it's like it's awesome, and just the fact that we're showing these light gun games in RGB, like direct capture light gun action. It's pretty amazing, I think. I'm happy with that episode, even though I had basically nothing to do with it.
I wonder, like, if we can. It's too bad we can't stream some light gun games next week too.
Why
So
couldn't
for those that don't know, Tri is coming to visit me on Thursday, and he's staying until either Monday or
they?
Tuesday.
Actually, I realize I can't stay till Tuesday because
All right.
I've got some things scheduled that are for work that are kind of immobile.
Yeah.
I've been debating whether I could come like on Wednesday instead of Thursday, but I don't know. I think I should save my vacation days, like
All right.
especially if something comes up. Like what if I mean what if we have an opportunity to go shoot another documentary?
Yeah,
Like, you know, like I need to hang on to my vacation days.
that's totally fine. But I mean, it's just we'll try to get as much stuff done as we possibly can
Oh yeah.
during the trip.
You know,
But
I think we will because I don't think the things that we're doing aren't going to be as time consuming as what we did when you came here.
right.
I don't think. So I think we're going to get a wide variety of things done.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be good.
Yeah. But it's just too bad we couldn't, like, maybe we'll stream for longer on Sunday.
Yeah, maybe we'll start early. I don't know.
Yeah, or maybe we'll just go. Yeah, I mean, you got a long day of driving. But I think much like me, when you realize it's like not that bad of a drive, you'd be like, you know, maybe we can make this happen more often.
Yeah, I mean it's I mean there's you don't go through any cities.
Nope. It's pretty much all country driving the whole time.
Which I'm pretty into that. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be fun. I'm excited about it. It's going to be interesting seeing your setup in person for the first time. Like, I've seen it so much, but until you're like physically in a space, it's so hard to really form in your mind, I think, what it's really like.
Wondering if it'll feel, if it's like smaller or bigger than you expected.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely got an image in my mind of where it is. The thing that I think is going to trip me up the most is the location of your game library room / green screen shooting room. I feel like I'm going to be thrown off by like what side of the room the door is on.
Oh, well, maybe not. It might be exactly what you think. But we're going to shoot a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, we're meeting with somebody. We're going to do kind of the original idea for you coming here was because we are working on a Supergun episode.
Which I don't know why, for some reason, that just compelled me to think like...
It just like seemed like a good idea, you know, yeah. Like, make that happen. And, you know, we're going to be covering 3 different Superguns. And we have a loaner that we only have for a very short amount of time.
Oh, that's right. Like, we have to, like, basically get everything with it, like...
With that one,
Friday,
yes.
Friday or Saturday, right?
Whether or not the episode's going to happen, like, really soon, but we need to get all this stuff for it.
Mm-hmm.
For that specific Supergun, because we only have it until, like the latest we can have it is, like, the 18th. So we have to shoot everything. And the thing with this is that... You know, you got to use arcade boards with it. And I luckily know a guy who has an arcade here, and he's going to let us shoot there at his place. Bring it there. I'm going to bring my Framemeister and a portable capture device. And we're going to just play a whole bunch of different boards on
it. It's going to be kind of a unique shoot, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, like the guy who runs that arcade is also going to like, we're going to do like a little sit down with him. And he's going to kind of go through, like, if you want to, like, get into that whole scene, like, mm-hmm. what is, like, advice.
Because to an outsider, I think it sounds so intimidating. It sounds intimidating to me. And I don't foresee myself getting into it because I'm not huge into the style of most arcade games. But I just think it's fascinating, like, that it's really feasible to play arcade games at home. You don't have to have them in an arcade cabinet, you know?
Right. Right.
It's kind of a mind-blowing concept to me still.
Right.
So I think that'll be very interesting to people. And we're also planning to sort of get a foothold on the geometry episode, which is, you know, just a hugely intimidating episode.
We have some contacts and we've been getting a lot of questions about it lately. The reason it hasn't happened is because we want to specifically talk to professionals,
yes,
and have them guide us through stuff, and that's like been more difficult than we originally thought it was going to be. So hopefully we have something lined up, and if not, you know, if it happens, it happens. If not, we're doing what we can.
Yeah,
so it's like an episode that we do not want to put wrong information out there.
Right. It's and you know, and every TV is going to be different. So I mean, it's. You know, so you can't necessarily take the information from the episode and say this is going to apply exactly to my TV, but we're going to try to give as good a general tips as we can.
Right. And by doing that, by having like actual like technicians who have like years of experience doing this, which in a way are like the only ones that can, you know, as the technology is dying, less and less people that know how to truly do it are getting older, and you know, some are dying themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which is like it's like an awful way to think of it, but I mean, that's just like the reality of the situation.
This information is like getting lost,
right?
But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and get started here.
All right,
This game took me like right on the dot 3 hours to finish. So I'm curious how long it'll take on a replay, because I'd never played it before. I rented the original You know, back in the N64's day. Never played the second game. And I'll always want to. This is overall, I think, the more polished game. The first game has, especially when I started editing the episode, I really realized that this one's just more interesting to look at. The first game has a lot of rooms where you, like, you know, clear the enemies or, you know, find a hidden tile that opens the door or something like that. You know, a lot of these self-enclosed sort of things, whereas this game has, you know, kind of level design that just kind of just keeps moving. So I think it's overall the more fun game. Maybe there's a lot more generic, like running and jumping, like I say in the episode, but it's overall probably the better game.
Yeah.
So let me turn on the sound here.
We will be covering the HDMI boy in a, the next RGB episode is going to be Game Boy.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the next.
That's your next episode.
Yeah. Basically,
right?
once I get back, from your place, I'm going to, you know, kind of be, you know, working on getting the script ready to shoot and, you know, moving forward with that. That's my next priority. Aside from helping you with a game focused episode that we're kind of excited about, I don't think we should say anything about, because it's a unique
idea. So the next episode was going to be EverDrive.
By the way, just as an aside, these two games both, and I don't know how well you'll be able to see it on the stream. I just now did. Both of these games have this really weird grainy filter. I don't know if you can see it on the stream. The only time you can really see it in the second game is like on this menu screen right here, and I think in some of the pre-tile stuff. But in the first game, I had to adjust the black levels in my recordings a bit because there is this obnoxious noise in everything that is pure black in the first game. It's right. The weirdest thing. The second game doesn't have that issue, but on this screen, on the wood, you see all this noise. It's really weird. Sometimes you can see it when there's a screen transition, but I don't know. It's weird. So, I should play as a different chameleon. We've got Davy the blue one, or excuse me, Davy the green one in the American version, Jack the blue one, Fred the droopy-eyed yellow one, and Linda the girl with a bow.
Play as Linda.
Linda? Linda. All right. Let's go with Linda. I'm not going to put my rumble pack in.
Okay. Linda!
The weather's beautiful again today.
But yeah, the Game Boy episode is the next RGB episode. And you know, after that, we can get back to some like non-Nintendo system focus.
Yeah,
it's just the way it's worked out. It was not like our intention to do things in the order that we did.
Yeah, and Game Boy maybe doesn't have to be as high of a priority as I've made it, but I just really want.
But you had a whole bunch of stuff
already shot,
borrowing that we needed. Yeah, it's already shot. Like, hopefully that will help out, like in terms of like making the
episode. I think it will, and I'm going to, you know, most segments, most things that we talk about, I don't think is going to be like absolutely crazy. You know, like certain things I'm just gonna like kind of talk about it for a little bit, but you know, it's not gonna go totally nuts.
Right. I mean, I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. And then, you know, if we can get like Geometry and maybe even Skirt Switchers done, I think that the one after that, I'm kind of starting to feel like the itch for Saturn. I'd really like Saturn to happen.
Yeah, me too. Well, I mean, me too. I mean, like the... it has to happen before Dreamcast, and I feel like Dreamcast is like a ticking time bomb. Like, there could be an emergency need to do Dreamcast, like, at any time.
Mm-hmm.
If, like, an HDMI mod, like, actually comes around.
Well, it's on its way.
It's on its way. We just... There was a bit of a technical difficulty, I think. I think it's kind of going through some revisions. Or at least that's the impression I'm under.
But this next episode, you know, like I was saying, it was going to be EverDrives. Well, really, like EverDrives and the SD to SNES. Mm-hmm. But we thought we should try to cover some other flash drives in it as well.
So we're looking to getting our hands on those.
Yeah,
as well as
just so we can like make this like huge one stop shop of all of them, if we can. Mm. Like at least all the console ones. I'd like to do like portables and like in a separate episode.
Oops.
But that's kind of the that was going to happen next, and then we had like this other idea that kind of spawned out of the limited run episode.
Yeah.
That that'd be kind of fun to. Oh, you just die. There you go.
Well, you just lose one heart. Now, something that I was going to mention in the script. Actually, I wrote it and recorded myself saying it, but I never. I cut it out just because it wasn't that interesting. But these stars, you might wonder why I'm avoiding them. Well, I'll pick one up. It's this power-up system. Look, I got a big head. I don't even know if it does anything. Maybe it gives me a longer tongue.
Maybe.
No, I don't think so. It just gives me a big head for a little while. So, like, the power-ups, like, are either completely pointless, like the big head. Pointless as far as I can tell. Sometimes it makes you go slower. Like it's totally random what you get. Sometimes it makes you go faster, which, you know, I'm kind of the opinion of, you know, like the bunny hood in Smash Brothers. Like, I don't want the bunny hood in Smash Brothers because I feel totally out of control. I don't know. It's just kind of like the only thing that is like objectively good is the invincibility. And I mean, there's no guarantee you're going to get that. So it's totally pointless in my mind.
So people are saying, you know, if like in terms of EverDrives, remember to mention the China version and the UFO. That is one of the ones that other ones we want to cover is the.
I actually just ordered the UFO, which
I never even heard of until.
I have heard about it. I honestly don't know that much about it. I ordered it, but I don't know that much about it. You know what I'm kind of wondering is if it could potentially be. You know, my, you know, Snap-on translation patch machine that I kind of wanted. I think you can dump your own ROMs with it, I think. I'm sure there's probably a lot of people that know a lot more about than I do. You know, obviously I'm going to learn a lot before we do the episode. But I think, like, it can play... I think it can play like, you know, special chip carts, as long as you have like the cart with the proper chip snapped on. I think. I know there's a lot of caveats or. You know, things that you need to be aware of with that thing. But I think, can anyone confirm to me if I'm correct that I could play the translation patches in the way that I want to with that thing?
Yeah. Mr. Maynard has a Super UFO Pro 8, and I think I saw somebody else say something about it.
And I saw that it looked like there were at least two companies making their own versions of it. Like the one that I got, I think says Retrobit, but there was something, some other brand that started with like an L, I think.
I don't know. The super gun is a device. It's got like boards and stuff inside of it. I mean, it's consolized.
It's the whole thing is a little mysterious to me because like the arcade hardware itself is really on the board.
Right. This is basically just a way to
interface.
Well, yeah, I guess that's a good way to put it. It basically like encodes the video.
Right.
And outputs it over the, over your chosen connection. We're going to be covering three specific, ones you can buy. Like, people can build their own. You know, there's a lot of different options and stuff, but we're going to be covering the Max Strike, which is kind of like a cheaper option from Arcade Forge, which is cheap, but it's not as cheap as I was expecting before I bought one. We're going to be covering a new one from Windy Gaming, which is, you might have heard of them. They did like a lot of, they were an online store.
Mm-hmm. You may have seen them at cons before, but I think they're kind of getting out of that business.
Well, I think that they're actually kind of back into it now.
Oh, okay. But
they were just taking a break while they produced this, I think they call it like the ATX 300 or something like that. It's a kind of middle of the road super gun, which is that is the one that we're borrowing. They approached us. I knew them because a long time ago I bought a couple of reproductions.
That's kind of a funny story too. I think.
Is it
when we were at Too Many Games 2 years ago, right?
I was like, I didn't even know that he recognized me, but I bought a Phantasy Star Tex Adventure cartridge off of him. Reproduction. It was like the Sega CD ones that were put on a cartridge and you could swap through them using the reset button. I bought that off of him, and I bought a Star Fox Super Weekend repro so that I could get footage of it for the Star Fox episode, which is like the third episode on the channel. Somehow he knew what I looked like, and we talked a whole bunch there, and then he contacted me and said, you want to have any interest in covering a super gun, because we're making one.
And that was kind of a crazy thing, because I mean, we've been playing this episode for a while, but you felt like we were lacking middle of the road option. Yeah,
right. So that was perfect timing, and so we'll be covering that one, and we'll also be covering the one from Jason's Customs, which I was only able to buy a long time ago because I a few months ago. I was only able to buy it because I had some extra cartridges that were worth some extra money. So I was able to sell them to a local person. I said, I'm just gonna buy the super gun that I really want. And it's good because it has so many different video outputs. I think the Max Strike only might support RGB. The Windy Gaming only supports RGB and composite. And this one, the Jason's Custom, supports RGB component, S video and composite.
And you actually get the best results from component with the Jason's Customs. But we think there could be more factors at play.
Yeah, well, I think that a lot of it has to do with the thing is every board is really different. Like they all adhere to different standards. Like some will work better with the super gun, whatever super gun, than another. It's weird because I get better quality out of my Ninja Turtles one has caused me a whole bunch of problems.
That's the main reason we want to do all these tests at Arcade Legacy.
Right, because we're going to try it with different boards, and we'll get different results, but we also want to do side-by-side comparisons because, the Jason's Custom ones, I don't get very good RGB out of it.
This is a maze, by the way.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of dumb.
But I don't get very good RGB quality out of my Jason's Customs, and you know, it's got a lot of noise in it, and
but you think some of it could be the boar?
Yes, because you know, I got a lot of noise out of Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, which I borrowed, but a lot of that noise was because I had a longer than recommended SCART cable. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff that needs to be addressed in it, and I think it's gonna be cool. I mean, there's a lot of channels out there that have like the same kind of information. This one guy has the channel Luke Morse, just like a really heavy duty arcade channel. But this is, you know, if we can try to make it as easy to understand and enjoy as possible.
Right. Like, well, I mean, you know, my whole thing is this, like, just like, holy crap, this is even possible, you know? Like, I sort of see it as more being informative of, you know, hey, you want to get into playing arcade games at home, you know, here's some information to get you going.
Right.
And here's some recommendations for hardware and how to... Also, these transitions are like, what the heck? Like, like what kind of transition is that? The ending of the first game has a very strange transition.
It almost looks like a glitch. Like, it's like the game is like...
Yeah, crashing. It's so bizarre.
But that's kind of the situation with that episode. I mean, I don't know when it's gonna completely release, but as it's becoming more and more regular with this channel, it's like we're constantly prepping stuff for future episodes so that we can have it ready when it's time. You know, because I mean, I won't even have the Max Strike for probably another 2 weeks.
Is it made to order?
I think he builds them.
That's too bad that we can't take it to Arcade Legacy with us.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take it separately.
Yeah, it'll just have to be shot a little differently, unfortunately.
Yeah, and you know, like I can, he's gonna also lend me some boards as well. So I can bring stuff back here and, you know, to do like comparisons and stuff like that. Always makes me nervous though to like borrow stuff like that, you know, especially when it's just like bare boards like that. Like I get so afraid something's gonna happen.
Now in the first game, for whatever reason, the layout of the map is almost identical. When you beat the first level, you unlock like stage 2 and 3, and you can do either in either order. But what's interesting, and I never tested this, you unlock stage 6 after clearing stage 4 in the first game. So I don't know if you could just play stage 6 and see the ending and skip stage 5 altogether. Because the rabbit... Say what?
Why don't you try it?
Well, I can't really try it now. It's in the first game.
Oh, duh. Okay.
But it's interesting because the rabbit... actually refers to it as the last level. Also, I love these popcorn guys that like they're so angry looking and they like dump all their popcorn on you. Oh, and then these French fry guys, like they fire their French fries like missiles.
French fries like missiles.
Yeah, that's what it is.
In other news, I found 7 blank VHSs at St. Vincent's, like the donation place yesterday.
Oh.
So now I have 21 blank VHSs.
You know, speaking of blank VHSs, I discovered, you know, when I did the high voltage screaming action thing. It's interesting. People in the comments have said, oh, I love the high voltage screaming action skit. I never thought of it as a skit, but I mean, I guess that's what it is.
Yeah.
It was just a thing I was doing. But it was but anyway, I turned on this VCR that I got from the PVM place for the first time, finally. It's a SVHS player. I didn't realize there was a tape inside.
Oh. Was it a Madden 2000 videotape? For if people don't know, like, if you get a game, if you get a system from a, like, a Goodwill or something like that,
especially an Xbox or PS2.
Yes, but you know, I bought a Wii and it had one in there too. It had Tiger Woods.
It'll have some EA Sports game in it.
Yes, it will 100%.
100%.
It's happened to me like four times. I have like a stack of games now.
You know, I've got in my, I forget if it was in my Myst or Riven case. I think it was the Myst case. The PS1 copy that I bought has like a second disc put on underneath the Myst disc. It's Enter the Matrix for PS2.
Oh, you know, the Myst that I got had a second disc in there too.
Really?
Yeah, for the PS1, the Myst.
What was in it?
Myst for the PC.
That's so random. I mean, it's a one disc case, you know, so people were just stacking the disc.
Yeah.
But isn't Enter the Matrix, isn't it a two disc game?
Myst?
No, Enter the Matrix.
No.
Really? It's a one disc game?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, actually, I got that recently. I got Enter the Matrix. I also got the Matrix, The Path of Neo.
I didn't know there was another Matrix game.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I remember they had like they did Matrix Online as well.
Really? I mean, that makes a lot of sense, but I don't remember that.
But I got Path of Neo, which I guess has like a really, really bizarre ending that's like out of nowhere. It doesn't like fit in with any of the movies or anything like that, because Path of Neo actually follows the movies.
I mean,
Enter the Matrix is two discs on GameCube.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. Was there an Xbox version?
That was like a big deal when that
I'm
came
actually
out.
Surprised thinking on it that it came to GameCube. But I'm pretty sure the version that came with my Myst disc is, I don't count as part of my collection because I don't have the case, you know?
Is it the Xbox version?
I'm pretty sure it's the PS2 version.
Okay.
I understand the Xbox version was better, though. I mean, obviously, I guess.
It's just, yeah, I mean, it's a very good game in general, but I mean...
Is it? Have you played it?
My brother had it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I remember hearing it wasn't that good, but like I feel like it's got to be decent, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's all right. I mean, it was by Shiny Entertainment.
I mean, it's got like footage shot by the Wachowskis, right? That's like not in any of the movies.
Right, that was kind of the big thing.
Yeah, like that's crazy.
It happens concurrently with the movie.
Yeah, that's like kind of nuts if you think about. Like,
I think that the Blu-ray box set has all the cutscenes on it.
Oh, huh.
I think I have it, but I haven't watched like any of the bonus stuff.
I mean, that makes sense. I mean, it's past its day, you know.
Yeah. Man, first Matrix is awesome. I saw that movie at least four times in the theater.
Wow, I never saw it until it was on video.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I saw it like two or three times for full price, and I definitely saw it one time at the Dollar Theater. movie came out near the end of, was it my second year of college? Yeah, it was my second year of college.
I mean, it's been a long time since I watched any of them, but I mean, I really liked Matrix Reloaded, aside from the rave scene.
Like, I thought the second one was very good as well.
Like, that scene is like, okay, this is a thing that's happening, and then it keeps going and going, and you're like, oh wow, this is like still going on. And then it's like, oh, it's still not ending.
Yeah.
Why is this not ending?
See, I was never like that bothered by it.
I mean, it's just so off the wall.
Yeah.
And it just goes on for too long. That's my main problem with it. It's just so long. But like, it's funny. Like, I've seen like some video of like, you know, the famous Agent Smith fight, and it's like the CG has aged.
It's so bad. Yeah, it's pretty bad now.
This part right here was pretty hard for me. Like, because this is like one of those, like something that a point I feel, oh, I got through.
Oh.
A point I should have made in the video.
Are you bouncing? Okay.
It's yeah. Just like, yeah, it's a weird looking bounce. It's really weird looking. But like a point I feel I should have made in the video, like when I was talking about how cool it is that you can like attach to any surface. Like something that I think makes it even cooler is that, these burgers are distracting me because I want to make another point about them. What was I talking about? I already forgot. Oh yeah, one point I wanted to make was that I feel like a lot of the, you know, you can attach your tongue to moving objects as well, which is like, if you think about it, like that's, oops, I did not mean to do that. That's like kind of crazy if you think about it, like on N64, like you would think that, you know, I mean, doing something like giving an ability like your tongue attaching to anything, like just stationary objects would be enough, but when you can attach to moving objects, like that's pretty ambitious.
Yeah. You know, I captured a little bit of the Japanese version for you. Mm-hmm. And that was like the only time I've ever played it.
Yeah.
You know, this is an example of a game at the time that could only be done on the 64 because of the way that it uses the analog control.
Yeah, yeah.
At least in, you know.
I mean, they could have like made it, forced you to. They could have forced you to use the DualShock like Ape Escape did.
Yeah. I did like that you were able to show Blaster Master blasting again.
Yeah.
The episode.
I was like, honestly, that was part of the reason that I went ahead and played it. Like, even though I only needed to, like one shot from it, but I was like, you know, I should play that game.
Yeah.
It was a really good game. Like, I legit liked it. Like, I thought, I didn't think it was going to be like.
It's a good example of, you know, people saying like, oh, it's bad, but it's really, it's not.
Like, I think people just assume like NES Classic on, you know, a primitive 3D version of an NES Classic, like there's no way it could be good, but it's like, it's really good. What's crazy about it is that it is a direct sequel to the Worlds of Power book.
Yeah.
It's,
which I didn't know at the time I did the video.
Yeah. I mean, it's like really good. Like, it's like exactly what I would want a Blaster Master 3D game to be. Like, it's certainly not perfect, but all right, here comes the hamburger. A point that I wanted to make, I actually went out of my way to go to a Asian market, hoping I can find them. There are Japanese cookies called Every Burgers.
Every Burger?
Every Burger. They're cookies that are shaped like tiny hamburgers. And they're pretty good. We ate some of them on the last Backloggery marathon. If anyone here is from the Backloggery, then you'll know that we've got this long-standing joke about that really means nothing. But we do this every man cheer, you know, when we're, you know, streaming a game and we're like, you know, in this really tight sort of situation where, you know, you've got nothing to lose and everything to gain, right?
Yeah.
And we go, every man! It makes no sense, but I mean, it's something we've done for like seven years.
The idea of it was, you know, you think of like the every man like succeeding against all odds.
Right, so like an every man moment on a Backloggery stream or just in general would be like, you're just like going against the boss, like, you're basically like you're in this tight situation. You should lose, and you're just like doing the most ridiculous stuff, and you somehow win in the end. Like, that's a true everyman moment.
Oh yeah.
So we discovered the Every Burgers, and we made them one of our snacks during the last Backloggery marathon. And there are these little cookies, and they look kind of like these little things that I'm eating to shoot this giant hamburger. I wanted to, like, you know, do another, you know, I wasn't really sure what I was going to do, but I wanted to do something with the hamburgers, like with this game, like I did with the cupcake for the first game. I couldn't find them. I found, like, where I think they were in the store. Like, I found, like, a very similar packaging. They were, like, tree stump cookies. They were, like, cookies shaped like tree stumps. I don't know, man. Japan. Also, I find it funny that this is, like, Carnival Land, and the boss is a hamburger. Like, I wonder if, like, hamburgers are, like, a carnival food in Japan. Like,
maybe.
I don't think of hamburgers are so everyday here, you know? Like, I don't think of it as a carnival food.
I see Christopher in the chat says you guys have been posting about Blu-ray releases. It's something we were throwing around, an idea that we were throwing around that might be fun to do.
I feel like it should be like episodes that, well, it should be like showcase episodes and maybe tips and tweaks. But I feel like RGB, like,
it needs to have its own.
Yeah, and it
we can go back and tweak some information.
I feel like the RGB is not necessarily the best format for.
I know, but a lot of people say that they want it.
A lot of people say they would buy it. So I mean, I feel like with RGB though, you want to be able to like easily access it and look at it. And, you know, I feel like for the other episodes, there's just more fun, different content that we could do with a
right. With I kind of put in a email to like our YouTube network, who apparently, like, if I was an author of a disc, they would be the ones that duplicate it. We'll see what happens. I mean, I think it'd be a lot of fun. I don't know if they'll say yes, because I don't know if our channel is big enough. They could justify if we're, you know, a channel that only has as many subscribers as we do. Mm-hmm. But you never know. I mean,
oops.
Who knows? But I've also been throwing around the idea of doing another run of the how to beat VHS tapes. Mm-hmm. But in a way, like, doing a second as well, a second tape that has, like, the rest of them that we never released on it. Or didn't release on the first videotape. And I was thinking I could do like a small reprint of the first one. I could do a slightly larger print of the second one. And I could also do a print that has both in one clamshell. Which I think would be really cool. I feel like the time to do these might be... there just might not be enough... I need to do it now if we're going to do it, or do it soon, because the prices of blank VHS tapes are going up. You know, they're like $2, $3, $4 for one. Now. So I think that it's just getting more and more expensive.
Someone said, made a comment that I wasn't fully understanding what they were going for with it, but the impression I got was that they were saying that if we do another VHS tape, we should have it say on the box, high voltage screaming action.
We might be able, I mean, we could probably do that with the, if we did something on showcases. I think we could fit all the showcases we have on one Blu-ray. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't.
First, like 3 years or whatever.
Can you do, can you do like H.264s? Like, like the master files we've already got. Like, could we, if there were no changes we had to make to an episode, could we just encode it as is?
Oh yeah, that's what we'd be doing.
Okay. Yeah, it'd, I mean, I know nothing about making a Blu-ray.
Yeah, I would author it. And then, you know, Joe from GameSack has like authored all like their Blu-ray, and he also, like, I think he just finished with like the volume 2. Mm-hmm. So if I have any like things that I can't figure out, I'm sure he would help me. I mean, yes, I could always like burn them myself, but I don't really want to do that. I want to have them like, yeah, I want to have it be like a real
box. Yeah.
Yeah. But I wonder if people would be into like Blu-rays of like, if I could put all the How to Beat stuff on one Blu-ray for sure. And you know, if they were like, look like they were on VHS, even though they were in 1080p on a Blu-ray, I think that'd be okay too. Because I think that people would be more likely to maybe be able to watch one of those for one thing. Or I could always just do a DVD of it, but that's, I don't think I could just do a DVD. Have limited run release the RGB series volume 1. You know, it's funny because when I tweeted about that the other day, Josh from Limited Run said, you know, you should release it on actual VHS. I was like, we did. And he's like, oh man, no, I want one.
it was yeah, funny because when we first met up with them, you know, well, when I first emailed them, Josh said, oh yeah, we're familiar with your show. And then he told us when we actually went there that where he first knew about us was from How to Beat.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, I always like it when people learn about us from someplace other than RGB, because it's like, it validates like our non-RGB work, which is, you know, we're proud of it, but it's not as popular.
Right. No, I mean, I think it'd be fun, but I think it'd be fun to do another one, but I think the demand is like not really there. What was that?
I'm landing on the wrong.
Oh, I see. Okay.
The wrong panels.
Blade Blur, we are on the ScreenWave network. We've actually been on ScreenWave since our first video came out.
Yeah, you had a conversation
like that day, like the day that the first video came out. They were still pretty early then.
Dang it, I always forget which one I tried the last time I was up there. I don't think I've tried the bottom one. There we go.
Yeah, I mean, if we can't convince the network to like do Blu-rays, then, you know, it depends. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens. You know, I think we'll end up doing one. It's just like, I want to do one. I think it'd be really cool to, you know, have that actual physical product that people could buy. But I don't know. I mean, you know, honestly, like, we almost tripled in size this year. So if we triple in size by the end of next year, then I'm sure we can definitely do it.
I just noticed that in here there are some life storm. This is like a hockey
corner. Yeah, yeah.
One of the things says Life Storm Chameleon Twist 2 JSS must just be Japan System Supply. There's one that says Davy. I can't pause it and actually see. There's one that I can't make out it's like purple. It might just be I think it's just the Japan System Supply cat. So what is Life Storm? Like, the logo styling looks familiar. Like, it almost looks like a more recent game sort of logo.
I don't know.
Japan System Supply, it was hard to find any, like, concrete information on them. I'm under the impression that they were kind of more like they programmed, like, non-game stuff, but they tried for a brief time to get into games, I guess. I think. I mean, that... Again, not much information. If you boot up that Chalvo 55 Game Boy game, it says Digipark Japan System Supply, so I think my guess is that Digipark might be the parent company. But obviously they weren't around for long. I think they may have assisted with some other games, but I think the only three games that are definitively attributed to them are Chameleon Twist 1 and 2 and Chalvo 55, which I didn't play much of. I'm still borrowing, I feel bad about it, but I mean... I'm still borrowing Bob's EverDrive, Game Boy EverDrive. So that's how I got the Chalvo 55 footage.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll come in handy for the...
I mean, I'm almost done with that. I mean, once I finish the Game Boy episode, like, I'm going to have almost nothing, no use for anything that I'm borrowing anymore. Like, it's basically going to be done. Which would be a good feeling.
Now, our behind-the-scenes video inspired Bonspire to clean up and organize his retro setup.
I actually did a little work on mine today.
Yeah, you kind of had an interesting approach to your mounting your second PVM.
Well, I don't know if mounting is the word, not mounting in the sense of like a modern TV, but I'll show after I'm done playing the game and we go back to full screen. I just noticed this walrus has a horn on its head. Not only does he have spiked wheels, he's got a horn. I had some trouble with this boss at first, but I definitely found it to get a lot easier if I try to go like to the as far as I can to the opposite corner of where he is. He gets considerably faster over the course of the battle. The next boss is not hard, but then the last two bosses are really hard, especially I would say the second to last boss. He was really tough.
How far are you from the end right now?
After I beat this level, I'll be halfway through in terms of number of levels.
I see.
You know, it's kind of funny that, you know, the default chameleon in this game, his name is Davy. It's spelled D-A-V-Y. And I feel like most people who go by Davy spell it D-A-V-E-Y. I get that impression, but one of my best friends in high school was D-A-V-Y.
Oh, I always thought of it with an E. I always think of Davy and Goliath. Let's see, it's probably actually like older than I am.
But whoa.
Claymation, like a little boy with his dog.
Goliath. Yeah, I'm vaguely familiar with that.
Bonspot asks, do I have a solution for heating up of your game room in the summer? The attic that you're in, it must get super hot. You have no idea.
Not
that bad normally, but it's the thing is when I'm in the other room and I'm shooting stuff against the green screen, and it is like...
Oh no, I was so close to being...
It is like so hot in there that I can't... I had to stop, I think it was, what was it, the Framemeister Alternatives, where I had to stop 3 times because I was sweating through my shirt. I'd like put my shirt on the fan.
That was a big part of the reason why I'm visiting in October, and I'm hopeful that it is actually cooler now. Is that true?
Oh yeah, it's much better now. It gets a little cold up here. I have a furnace up here, so that during the winter I can make it whatever. It's just it gets really hot, and I am getting a roll around air conditioning unit for next summer.
I read a little bit about like portable air conditioners. I can't remember exactly why, but it made it sound like it was definitely a very imperfect thing, and it made me, it might be a certain type maybe that like actually puts like cooled like water droplets in the air, and like that's like bad for your stuff. So like
I would only run it like a couple, like an hour or two before I was about to shoot.
Yeah, but I mean, it definitely makes me concerned, like of you know putting like a damaging sort of humidity around your game, all your game stuff.
Right, but I mean, like I said, I would just run it for an hour before I was gonna shoot, so it like cools it down.
So you wouldn't use it like.
It'd be a roll around so that I could.
Really only use it for shooting, though.
Yeah, I'd run it for an hour, like make the room really cold, like before I shoot, essentially.
That's what I do, because I mean I turn off my air conditioning when I shoot too, just to you know get all sound off that I can. Upstairs, like I usually have the air conditioning barely on. I try to cool it off quite a bit before I shoot, but I'm sure it does not get anywhere near as hot as it does in your place.
Yeah. Sensuela Sven asks if I speak any Swedish. I do not. My family does have some Swedish heritage, some Scottish heritage.
Why did Swedish come up?
I believe that he is Swedish. He said, I think that he said earlier that he sent greetings from Sweden.
Ah. But your favorite candy is Swedish fish.
Yes.
You've got like a funny story about a Swedish fish shirt that you bought.
I have a funny story about it.
You said that you like.
I got a Swedish fish
You shirt. Like ordered it from the official Swedish fish shirt site, and they contacted you like just to be sure that you did that on purpose because no one had ever ordered one before.
Yes, I might have the email. Let's see.
Like, which is unbelievable to me because, like, wow, I do not love Swedish fish nearly as much as you do, but I mean, like, heck, I wouldn't mind having a Swedish fish shirt. I like Swedish fish.
Yeah, well, I got it from yeah, hang on, let me just...
Really? Carlson is a very typical Swedish name. That surprises me. Because it definitely, like, anytime, like, son is at the end of something, I just assume it's, like, British in origin.
It's only $15.99, the Swedish fish. Where is the, I got it from Confection Depot.com. Let me just see it.
So it wasn't direct from Swedish Fish.
It says licensed. Yeah, it was from a guy named Larry at Confection. It says, thank you for your order. Unfortunately, the address you specified has come back and our ordering system, blah, blah, blah. Try to change, send, suggest. Either send merchandise to your billing address.
This part is really hard, by the way. This was one of my trouble spots. You have to light these torches, and each torch you light brings up another boot. But the when the fire goes out, the boot sinks, and it the perspective is just very difficult for me right here for some reason. I don't know. That's not a problem I really have with a lot of N64 games, is like my sense of space and perspective, but for some reason these games do make me struggle just a little bit.
Oh, BBS Reaper found a grape fantastic N64 with GoldenEye today. It's cleaning.
Ooh.
Just found it.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I want to say that Grape Fantastics were rumored by some to be one of the more reliably better ones.
Yeah.
But the whole thing with that, like, you could tell that they were sharper, but, the one we borrowed, I wouldn't call it better necessarily. Like, it was... Like, the colors were a little more blown out, in my opinion.
Yeah,
but it also could have just been how, like, I had it calibrated, how I had the FrameMeister calibrated. But still, like if you looked really up close, like, you know what? In all honesty, I don't think N64 Composite looks that bad. Like, it looks better, I think, than a lot of other composite. Seriously, like, oops. I think, I honestly, the blurring factor really kind of neutralizes the all that composite crawliness.
Yeah. I can see that.
So I just got game over, but as you can see, the checkpoint is in the exact same place.
There is a plan for a PS2 episode. I think, like, it's definitely gonna.
I would.
I'm excited about that one. Pretty excited about it. I think that it's like, I don't think it's that far off.
I don't think it is either, because to tell you the truth, I think it probably should be my next one after Game Boy. My next system specific, anyway.
Okay, yeah, let's do that. Let's do exactly that. Sounds good.
All right. that's kind of my thinking. Like, PS2, then probably either PSP and Vita or Wii. Probably Wii.
Yeah, well, I mean... Man, I can't even imagine, like, having those episodes out. What are we going to do when we, like, have released so many things that nobody is even asking for, like, anything anymore?
Well, I want to do Atari.
Yeah.
I actually wanted to do Atari this summer, but I don't have... I just didn't have the money to get the systems modded that I need to have modded to do it.
Right.
Couldn't justify it. I did grab, you know, I don't know if we talked about this last week, but I grabbed a Atari 7800 along for an as-is Atari 7800 at the Grid, which is the Goodwill operated store in the Charlotte area near where I live, and it's a Goodwill operated, like it's Goodwill sending all of the game all of the games in the region sending them to this store where they actually sell them for the value that they're worth. So it's really smart. Sometimes you can find good deals there, but it's, you know, more often than not, you're kind of paying what you pay at a typical game store. But they had something I'd never noticed before, which was a bunch of as-is consoles. And,
you bought a bunch.
I bought four. I bought an Atari 7800. I bought a Super Nintendo that I just had a feeling it was a one chip. It was right on the edge. It's the board is marked 95. It was probably like the last non one chip revision. I just had a feeling it could have been, and it was like, well, you know, I don't necessarily need one. It was physically it's in really rough shape. But I thought, you know, it could be worth just having the board. Like who knows? Like I could, maybe I could figure out something to do with it someday. But it's not a one chip, and like I say, it's in really rough condition. So what I'm going to do with it, I'm just going to leave it open, and you know, I've got a Super Nintendo for shooting inside when I need it.
I have a PS1 that's like that.
Yeah, but kind of the big thing is that I got a Master System, $8, actually fairly okay condition, to tell the truth.
You had like the plastic film on it.
The plastic film that goes over like the
shiny parts.
Yeah, like what's under there is still a little is actually kind of a little dirty, but and there's some scratches on it, but like for eight, it's like the best condition $8 console I've ever seen. You know?
Yeah, and it works. And now you have a Master System. Do you ever think in your entire life that you'd own a Sega Master System?
I mean, a long time ago, certainly not. I never even knew Master System existed until high school.
And now you own one.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think about. Like, I just remember one guy in my class was like, oh yeah, I didn't own a Nintendo, I owned a Master System. I'm like, a what?
See, that's, you know, someone was saying, you know, if we ever run out of systems to cover, then we'll probably go back and revisit some old ones. And, you know, it's probably true. I mean, I think about...
We're already kind of doing that to some extent.
Yeah, I mean, I think about the Master System episode, and, you know, I think about, you know, it was the first console specific, so it's pretty bare bones overall. You know, I think it's weird that...
I'm not
like,
in it.
Scheme of things, like, I should have really had examples of both, you know, like Master System 2, like side by side, and like composite or like modded Master System 2. Like it's just stuff that,
like, our standards are just a lot higher now.
Yeah.
This is one of the hardest parts in the game, I think. Like just getting across this gap with the vertical rotation.
Oh, BBS Reaper is getting a PS Waka upscaler. That's that official one that, what's his face? I think it was talking about.
But I also got a $5 Model 3 Genesis, which is just some dumb thing I've wanted for a long time. It's actually in really good shape. Works. These are all just sold as is. The Atari 7800, I mean, none of them came with a power supply, and getting a power supply for that, I'm told, will be a little tough. But hey, you know, I have no idea if it works, but you know, if it doesn't, I mean, like, for $5 and $8, like, if it doesn't work, at least, you know, you've got a prop, you know?
Yeah. So earlier today, I was tweeting about, because I'm, for the Super Gun episode, I want to take my Framemeister with, and I really didn't want to like pull apart my setup to get the AC adapter out from underneath. Oh, yeah. And I didn't even realize it, but I discovered, thanks to Bob from Retro RGB, that a PSP AC adapter will work fine with it. Well, which is kind of.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that since you know, we've got older Framemeisters, which did not ship with universal power supplies as they now do. You know, ours are really Japanese, and, you know, the power supply itself does get very warm.
Right, and this might be a better way to.
It might actually be better.
Yeah, so I ordered a second one. And you did too.
Wait, you ordered one after I told you that I ordered one, or?
Yeah, I ordered one.
Oh, okay, yeah.
What I sent you was that there was only one left. There's right. only one left because there was two, because I ordered one.
Right.
Just good they have a.
Yeah, and then that way, like, if you want to take the Framemeister somewhere, it's, like, not this big deal.
Yeah, I can just unhook everything, and I have, like, a portable AVR media that shoots, will record 10 or 720p 60. So I'm just going to use that to record Super Gun stuff.
Should we do the Super Gun stuff with OSSC instead, maybe, since it'd be 720p? Well, but we won't be as confident that it's working correctly, I guess.
Exactly, which is why I want to use the Framemeister, because I think that the Framemeister will just will work generally better with them. Because I have no issues with the RGB on the Ninja Turtles board that I have.
One thing I didn't talk about in the video, but these games have good music.
Yeah, I didn't really catch a lot of the music in the episode.
It's catchy. I couldn't determine that any of it was done by, you know, some decorated video game composer. There's actually a lot of people in the credits listed for music.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's such a short game, I mean, you'd think it'd just be a one-person job.
Oh, Electron Ash is in the chat, who I believe is responsible for the Dreamcast.
Oh yeah,
HDMI. We were just talking about that earlier. Well, I mean, we were just talking about like how at any moment we could. Have to be doing the Dreamcast episode, but we want to get the Saturn done first, just so it doesn't go out of order.
I know. I mean, we're definitely out of order in a sense, but we've never been out of order within a console manufacturer.
Yes, exactly.
And I would hate for that to happen.
Yeah.
Those transitions are so weird.
I mean, it looks like the game is just messing up.
Yeah.
It's breaking. I mean, I would think that the game was crashing. Like, I don't think the Saturn is going to be super hard.
No, there's definitely some quirks that we need to understand a little better than we do.
Yeah, the hardest part is going to be getting is securing the games, the show, and the episode.
What? It shouldn't be that hard. I mean, you know where they're coming from.
Yeah. Yeah, Electronic Ash, just, you know, whenever it's ready, you know, whenever you feel like it's ready to go, you know, that would be just the thing, and we'll prioritize the episode.
But please don't do it and make that happen before Saturn.
Wait until we
get... Yeah, I mean, definitely, like, whatever your, you know, the newest... iteration of it is, you know, we don't want to get it in our hands too soon, because we would, like, if you're still working on it, you know, because
oops. Yeah, I mean, with what happened, like the GC video stuff is out now, but I think there's a lot of people saying, like, oh, when's it gonna be out.
Yeah, and it was, of course, we did think at the time that it could potentially be released very soon, but
yeah, no, I mean, it's fine, like, I'm
people weren't.
I gotta get it done. I have a GameCube. I should just get it done.
Oh, well, for HDMI or component? Got the component cables now.
Yeah, but I mean, I think I should have an HDMI just to, you know.
Yeah, so one of us has it.
Yeah, we're kind of at that point now where we're just getting, like, stuff done because it's good for us to have for the future.
Yeah.
Whether or not we want to use it in our setup. Be essentially just like,
what was it you were thinking about? Oops. Oh man, I'm gonna die here. This guy's not even that hard, but
what was it that I was talking about?
You were talking about getting something that I was like, you don't need that. I mean, you're like, well, I should have it for the show. Just in case we need it. What was it? There was something recent.
I don't remember. I mean, it's something that should be. We should, you know, we just got to get the stuff so that we have it for. Well,
you need to order that Revo thing.
I know.
You should order that like now.
I just spent that. I know I should, but I'm gonna wait a little bit. I'm gonna wait till hopefully we get a little bit from stuff. Just so I have. I just spent that $200 on the Max Strike.
Yeah.
Right at the moment.
Yeah. But I mean, you should order in the next couple of weeks if at all possible.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Because I want to have, like, when I get back, like, I'm. Whew, that was pretty close. When I get back from your place, like, my priority is going to be making sure I've got everything done that I need to get done for the next episode that you're editing. And then, you know, my focus from there is just going to be, you know, get Game Boy done. And if there's 3 weeks between episodes at some point, you know, so be it. You know, we'll try to keep it up, but I need to commit to Game Boy being my next thing.
So when I was trying to figure out if the PSP just to get a confirmation on it, I sent an email to Steve from HD Retrovision.
Mm-hmm.
And just to, like, confirm it, and he's just responded to me. He says, the original PSP's power supply is a perfect match for voltage, current, plug size, and polarity. Just make sure you use the official one and not a knockoff.
Yeah, this was for the PSP 3000, which I guess is different. But I spent a little extra money getting a official one because I just did not. Because, I mean, the thing is, the knockoff ones are super cheap, like suspiciously cheap.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he says the model number is PSP 100, which is the one that we ordered.
I actually, when you know you mentioned that, I actually emailed Steam myself. I'll check if he replied to me too, because I trust his opinion on, you know, like power supplies and stuff like that more than anyone else.
Yeah,
I emailed him asking because on their website they've got an article recommending some alternative power supplies if you know you don't have the original. And I saw that they rescinded the recommendation for a Genesis 2 power supply, which, you know, is what I need for my Genesis 3. And because it turned out that some people were getting a completely different product than the one that they had reviewed and approved.
Mm-hmm.
And it was apparently a very poor quality, this other version that people were getting. So I don't think they had another recommendation for Genesis 2. Like, I want to get another Retro DC, to tell you the truth, but I looked on the website, and it doesn't look like there's going to be any available until January.
I think it takes him a while to make them.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's in school, so, like, he's kind of, like, just doing it in his spare time, and he likes to make sure he's got, like, a big stock of them. That's what he told me originally. So I do want another, though. But I asked Steve about, because I don't know what to use for my PC engine. I don't know if Steve knows much about PC engine, but figured I'd ask.
My Duo uses a Genesis 2.
I bet it might be different for the regular PC engine, though. Well, does the Duo, like, is it only take one power input, or does it have, like,
a separate? Just one.
Okay. I wasn't sure if it might have been, like, a separate thing for the CD section. Present for you. That's what it says. It was so brief, but... Oh, there's a Davy in here. An old style Davy.
Really? The blue?
Yeah.
Oh, because they didn't want to do the they want to redo those sprites.
Yeah, but there's some other ones in here, so I don't know. Oh, this part's really hard. I did not understand the timing here. And I made it. Unless it was another part that was hard. Maybe it was another one that was hard. Like, I don't know. Like, the timing was just... timing of the jumps or something was really weird. Okay, it's this part. Like, if you just run on this, you will fall. But, like, I'm, like, going full speed. And it's a certain point of the falling animation, like, you start to lose your ability to jump. And I don't know. Like, it's just this part is very awkward. I do not know what's going on here.
So even if you die right here, you'd start right there?
Yep, even if I totally game over. It's like super forgiving.
Can you use the tongue?
I mean, I'm going to have to use the tongue to get to the far side, but I actually, the tongue does not stick to the cards at all. I do not understand this part. I mean, I got past it eventually, obviously, but... But it just makes no sense.
I saw somebody say something about how if you use like the tongue, like right before you use your parachute, you'll fly at full speed.
Oh, well, I don't know if I just using my parachute there helped me use the parachute. I don't know. I used my parachute and got past the part regardless.
Is there really any difference between the characters?
No. They're just... Huh. In fact, the first game actually says on the character select screen, they just call it color select. They don't even call it character select.
Interesting.
But the characters have individual names, but the screen says color select. It's funny that I don't know about the other characters, but at least Davey, at the very least, is like has the same name in Japan. Like, I don't know, Davey does not sound like a name that I would have imagined was actually part of the original Japanese version, but yet it is.
We got 65 people watching. That's pretty decent for as much other stuff going on.
I mean, I feel like the episode itself is doing, you know.
I mean,
it's okay for just a simple game focused episode.
Yeah.
Oh no.
I think people don't get as excited about like game focused episodes like that, but you know, it's okay.
Well, I mean, it's less work anyway, you know. Less return, but it's also less work.
Right. And you know, we
need it for ourselves.
Yeah, we go crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's
we never have time to play games.
Yeah, we would totally burn out if we didn't just take the time to do simple episodes like this now and then.
Right. Speaking of which, I mean, some people might, I don't know if they caught it or not, about how we re-uploaded the limited run episode.
Oh yeah,
I guess we should talk about it for a second. So there was a couple of like errors in the...
No, really, there was only like one real error.
Yeah, which was, you know, it wasn't major in the scheme of things, but it was one of those things that we decided to go back and fix it just so we had like a correct master file for the future.
Right. I mean, it, considering it's probably one of the main resources on the subject at all, I mean, there was one like definitely factual error, and it wasn't even about limited run, but it was about the order of release of Mighty Rabbids games, which in the script, original script, we said that their first game was Fat Chicken, and we were just completely mistaken.
Yes. But there's also some other things that we felt like we needed to elaborate on more.
They weren't... Some people thought there were a couple of things where we said something incorrect, and we were like, well, no, we didn't, but we can understand why you thought the way that we put that was factually incorrect when it was not.
Right. So originally we were just going to, like, you know, it was going to be unlisted on the channel. And I decided, like, at the last minute, like, if I was going to do this, I had to do it before this Chameleon Twist episode came out. So essentially I unlisted the old version so it wouldn't break any places where it was posted. And put this new version on. So everything shows up in the same order on the channel. It's just like a decision, and it stinks because, you know, like...
We lost the views, essentially.
Well, we didn't lose them. I mean, we didn't
lose them, but they aren't...
They don't show up on the page, but you know what? It has like 1,500 views after the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest regret is, you know, obviously we want to, you know, pitch to other developers, you know, like, hey, we, or you know, other people who've, you know, done things in the industry, and we want to do a video on you, and I think the Limited Run is you know, our most standout example of a documentary type video that we've done so far, and you know, we're gonna, you know, they're gonna look at it and be like, well, this, these people don't have any views, you know.
Right.
But we'll, I think, I mean, we'll figure out how to approach that when the time comes.
Yeah, I think over time, like, it's gonna do just fine anyways.
Yeah, it may one day match or surpass.
Yeah, I mean, and it, I think it definitely will match. But it just, like, it, like, that's the, like, I don't know if it was completely necessary, but it was more just, like, I just said, I'm just going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it was, that's the biggest problem with YouTube. I think that they don't have a way to replace a video.
Right.
I mean,
like you said before, it'd be cool if you could replace the video if it shows up as being like 80% the same.
Yeah.
As
the, I think that's a fair compromise.
But who knows? Maybe that, if that happens in the future, then I'll swap them out. You know, yeah. That'd be fine, but it is what it is. I mean, if anyone in the chat feels like throwing another thumbs up on it,
or just giving it a view, you know?
Yeah.
You don't even have to watch the whole thing. Just click the new version, and you know it'll.
Yeah.
It'll help make it look more presentable.
Yeah, it's still pretty presentable, I think. But, you know, well, it is what it is. You know, Reggie, this does totally remind me of Klonoa right here.
This is by far the hardest boss, in my opinion. Because dodging the arms is like, I'm not good at it when he does the spin.
It was like a last minute thing, I guess. I just happened to get it finished.
Well, you did just so we would have a correct master file.
Right.
That, you know, for if we did a Blu-ray or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to have it unlisted so that if Limited Run wanted to do anything with it.
Right.
They could feel good about sharing something that is correct.
Mm-hmm.
But they can still do that.
I mean, the trickiest thing was, we were like, before we released it, we're like, should they watch it? And it's like, you know, but we want it to be like an independent, unbiased documentary, you know? So it's like, well, it's our thing, so maybe we shouldn't, but it, you know, we could have gotten some clarification about some mistakes if we had. So it's a tricky balance.
Right.
And, you know, you learn from your mistakes one time and do better the next time, you know? What can you say?
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. You know, it still is performed pretty decently.
Yeah, I mean, considering what happened, I'm surprised as many people have viewed the new instance as they have.
I mean, I think it's good because, you know, like, I think a lot of people rewatched it, but also because of the, because it shows up in the new video. I think if people come for the new video, they might see that and be like, oh, I haven't watched this yet.
Hmm.
But, you know, we'll see how it does.
Hmm.
Does he make footstep sounds? Footstep sound effects?
No. Why?
No, I thought I heard it sound like footstep sounds.
Maybe you're hearing me slurping up the little guys.
Oh, maybe.
It makes like a clop sound.
Yeah. For the longest time, I was kind of undecided whether or not I... Because when a lot of 3D games started like having footstep sound effects.
Oh, yeah. Whether... Because it's just constant.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing. And, you know, and they're always like... The realistic sounds, too. They aren't like the stylized sort of sounds that you're, you know, used to. So it's like, you know, even if it's like a cartoonish game, it's like got this realistic sound effect of it.
Right. You're not playing this using the GameCube adapter, are you?
The GameCube? Oh, no. This was not a game that... I mean, there are definitely some games that I want to, use that with, but I just didn't really see the benefit for this game. Oh, come on,
yeah.
We can do this. Come on. Oh, no. Ah! So close.
This guy's harder than last boss.
I think so. Last boss is pretty hard, too, but I think he's harder.
Pretty cool looking boss, that's a big robot.
Yeah.
Big toy robot, really.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, this is Toyland.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes, like, I don't dodge those cannonballs, and I'm not sure why.
Electron Ash, is the HDMI adapter going to be specifically for the Dreamcast, or are you trying to make it more universal? Because I thought I heard at one point that like the intent was to try to make it more universal. Uh oh. Jeremy Jean says he has less interest for our streams than back in July 2016.
Hmm.
Oh. It's only 3 months ago. Well, yeah, we do what we can. We haven't had anybody on recently, so maybe we'll work something out.
We try to make a habit of having people on.
Yeah, we just had a couple of weeks where we haven't. But Tri's gonna be here next week, so we're going to play Shock Troopers.
For the Neo Geo.
Are you going to want to use the official Neo Geo controller, or are you going to want to use like the PlayStation 1 adapter?
I'll probably use the PlayStation. I mean, do you have like a controller for Neo Geo?
I do not have a...
Like a non-stick controller.
I don't know.
Oh, well then I absolutely want to use the PlayStation 1.
Okay.
I am not an arcade stick guy.
Okay. I didn't know if you wanted the authentic experience.
I do not care for the authentic Neo Geo experience.
All right. I think you'll enjoy using the adapter then. But I don't know. We're gonna shoot a whole bunch of stuff for Patreon as well. And like a whole bunch of ideas. We might even do like some couch co-op let's play type stuff.
Kind of weird, right?
Not for the
channel or anything.
Like, yeah, but I mean, I was thinking we could do like play through the original Contra.
Yeah.
Let's set it up. You know, I was thinking about a way that, because we tried to do something similar to that when we were at your house, nothing like synced up right. I had a hard time syncing everything.
Yeah, well, it just wasn't very interesting.
And it wasn't very interesting, but I think if we set something up, we can, I think we can do some other kind of, like, let's play stuff. whatever, you know?
Like for Patreon, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think because we had somebody in our Discord chat saying, like, oh, you guys should do some couch co-op stuff in person and shoot it for the... because I was asking the Patreon, like, what would you like us to do? And it was, that was something. I thought, you know, like, maybe a non-30 lives Contra would be in order, because you can definitely do that.
I can definitely do it. If you die off, I will finish.
All right, that's fine. You don't even need to use any continues.
It's likely it's possible I would use a continue.
Joey says he has a official Neo Geo CD controller if you wanted to use it. I don't know how much you'd be into the micro stick though.
Oh, is it what I thought it had D-pad. Pocket.
No, it's like a Neo Geo pocket stick.
Oh, okay.
Like a micro stick switch stick. But you know, I have to say that the button layout,
it's like a weird angle.
Well, yeah, you know, it's a diamond, but it the way that the buttons are located is different than they are on using the PS1 adapter, and it actually works better, I think, with the adapter. Like, the layout is better. Mm. No, we haven't done the VID blur on the N64 RGB board. I want to get it done, but I need I only have N64s that have the old mod in it, so I'm
hoping. You've got a board, though.
I have a board, yes. I would like to get it done, but I'm hoping for, like, maybe like if a Funtastic or something shows up, I would love for something like that to show up, like a Goodwill or something, and then do it.
Oh man, I'm gonna be running out of time.
No, it's almost there. But I don't know. I don't know what else we're gonna do for the
patron videos.
BBS Reaper says he'll sell me his purple Funtastic. It's in the box. Try would just get the box. I don't have space for the box. And if you've noticed, even like in this episode, he is like building up a wall of game boxes. And it's kind of like I'm giving him like everything that I have.
I've got two N64 like original release boxes as it is. I got one from a friend.
But do you have a grape one? It depends on how much it would cost. I mean, I know that they go for fairly pricey. I can't just go crazy with it. Says he's good on price. Can you, like, either on Twitter or on the messages on YouTube, you can, like, send me a message on there, or you can send it to like the email that we have on our contact page. We can talk about it, or you can give me your email. A grape would be cool, I think, as you know, being purple. I think my kids would be into that too.
Master GameCube.
Oh, is BBS Reaper? Okay, so BBS Reaper is the person who Blabler bought his 20L5 from.
Oh wow!
Is he the one that's in North Carolina?
Yeah, the one that I almost bought mine from.
How far away from you is he?
I think fairly far.
Okay, so it was.
Whew. Okay, so I think I discovered like at the last minute there that that you can eat the cannonballs, and I didn't realize that.
Oh, he's in Greenville.
Okay, I know he traveled to Raleigh to get them, but correct me if I'm wrong. They turned out to not be 20. There was one 20L5 that was like in the box, unopened, right? And I think he kept that for himself, but if I'm remembering right, the other ones that you thought were going to be 20L5s turned out to not be.
What were the other ones? Oh, he has now two. Well, I mean, I'm always looking for other.
Well, I ended up getting another one from someone in California. Blade Blur pointed out, you know, Blade Blur's in California. He said, well, you should have got the one that I bought.
I mean, I guess if I was in a position, I would get another 20L5 if I could.
What have we become?
I know. It's, you know, I'd put that over there, I think. Get that 480p goodness in there. Did you already do that? No, this is from the demo.
Well, I used a very long, like the longest continuous gameplay clip in the video is this section.
Oh, okay.
I kind of felt like, man, I should cut to something else, but it was like the best example I felt of the tongue action. Like using the tongue like to climb higher. But I'm like kind of struggling right now. Here we go. Got started now.
You're not playing this on your PBM, are you?
I'm not.
Okay.
I would like to come up with a stream situation where I could make like my PVMs like my normal like stream thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it would require some microphones and moving webcam and stuff like that. No. Okay, that wasn't too disastrous.
X-ray Visionary, is ReRez having a stream right now? And then you come over here from there. So he's from ReRez's team. But you're doing it. You got some questions saying like, oh, how did you get the game on the CRT?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, that was just S video. Like, the CRT was, you know, on my set was just for show.
Right.
You know, that was not how I played the game. I played the game exactly as I am doing now, where I'm looking at my HDTV through the Ultra HDMI.
BBS Reaper says, when you want to borrow what's the FW900?
What is that?
Is when you want to borrow the FW900. Meet you in Greenboro, Charlotte, anytime. Just sitting right now. VGA to HDMI cord is on the way now. I don't know. I maybe you guys talked before. Or no?
Yeah. I actually didn't realize that when Blade Blur told me someone had some 20L5s or was picking up 20L5s, I did not realize it was a viewer of the show.
Oh, yeah. Me either. FW900 is a crazy... FW900 is a 1,440-line count CRT.
A what?
That's, like, out of control.
Like, I feel like the scan lines would be like the actual lines would be so tiny.
Yeah.
Like the black would be like ridiculous.
Yeah, but it might.
Like, would it even look any good? I'm not that sure.
It's 40p and higher only.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. There's like certain, only like a very few certain things that I can hear echo back on Skype, like the ow!
wait, you shouldn't be hearing it from me.
You're right, I shouldn't. Why would I be hearing it from you? I do hear something echo back every once in a while, though.
I wonder if it's because I was feeding the computer back to you.
Oh, well,
on my mixer. That's my reason why.
I only hear it, like, extremely infrequently.
I just turned it off.
Like, I hear the ow! But...
Yeah. Whoops. Man, 14, like 1,400. I mean, I always thought like the one that Phone Dork has, that's like 1,000 lines.
Like, even for, would 480p have like intense scan lines on it?
I don't know. I feel like, I mean, the scan lines are definitely there on a 20L5, but I think it's like perfect.
Right, like you'd really have to look for them to see it on a 20L5. Like, yeah. I've not, you know, aside from when I did that Periscope when I first got it, I have not tested 480p on it again.
Really? So you just, like, haven't really...
Well, I haven't done much. Well, because I took the feet off of it because I was, like, trying to come up with some ideas for, like, how to raise it up. Because I wanted it to be at a more comfortable viewing angle, and I also wanted... I wanted to be able to utilize the space underneath it. So I'll show after I'm done playing the game, but I took the feet off, and so I didn't really get it set up until I got
Wait, did you take the feet off of the PBM?
Right, I took the feet off because I had, like, some other idea. I put the feet back on.
I see.
But I didn't want to do anything with it with the feet off.
I see. Okay, so the FW900 is a PC CRT, but it uses a 2304 by 1440p. It's 16 by 10. It's the highest-end CRT ever made.
Wow. That's nuts.
Takes VGA only. He has a HD Fury to VGA, VGA to HDMI.
Could that be the name of the episode? The best CRT ever made.
Yeah, well, you know. Sounds like a re-res episode. I mean, it might be fun just to, like, show it.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
Yeah. Well, so he'd be open to meeting you. So is the second one pretty expensive?
You know, to be honest, I feel like I paid like 20 something for it, which is good. Like, I want to say, like, it, like, if you look on eBay, like, I haven't looked recently, but back when I was looking for it, like, for some reason I found like a ton of PAL copies. But there were, like, no, like, American copies.
Really?
Yeah, like for the longest time. I honestly don't remember how and when. I think I saw it at a store and it was maybe like $22 or $25. Whoa! Holy crap! I really should have been able to capitalize on that. I don't know how I got that kind of momentum, but I... The first game is like, I don't know, 12 or 15 bucks. I mean, you can find the first game out in the commons section of, you know, your local store. Like, it's not, like, the first game is typically not going to be behind the glass.
Because I'd probably buy the second one. We'll see, though. I think it's pretty cool. It's a little heavy on the analog stick, though.
You should get that GameCube adapter. I don't think I had this much trouble on this part before.
What is a good price to pay by Suikoden 2 so I can join the cook?
Well, cool kids, about a price on Suikoden 2.
Yeah, a friend of mine just like retweeted a pretty sweet thrift store that a friend of his had today and got Suikoden 2 for $20, along with like Tales of Destiny for $10.
Yeah, like a lot of like really stupid deals.
Yeah. So apparently, we're just kind of talking about Clock Tower on the PS1, the PS1 version of Clock Tower, which was the only one at the time that was. It's not the first one in the series.
No, the original's on Famicom, I think.
Right. But apparently, I guess it's like expensive. But my brother gave me his copy like a while back.
Uh-oh.
And that might be fun to stream. Like this month.
The game just like froze.
It broke.
It froze. Like it's dead. It is locked up.
There it is. Just as you found a glitch. It's got a kill screen.
I literally got squished.
Literally at 11 o'clock on the dot.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's telling you something.
Well, I mean, that was my last hit of that life, so it must have like gotten into some. It must have frozen going into the transition to game over for some reason. Weird. Unfortunate. I didn't show the final boss in the video, so if you want to see the final boss, you'll just have to play the game yourself.
Not gonna happen tonight. You'll not in this stream.
You'll just have to play the game yourself. I will I'll reset it so we've got something in the background there at least, but
you can see my little PVM back there. I put it up on a higher thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I had a nice rug.
Oh. Right, actually, let me... Nice this rug. Is so stupid, but let me turn the PVMs on. Probably won't show up that well on the camera, but maybe... So I just set this up. I don't know how well you can see over here. So that's the 20L5. And I got 12 bricks, actually. They're like nice bricks. They're called pavers. They're like what you would build like your patio out of, and they were 99 cents each, so I bought 12 of them. I used some really strong glue to do three stacks together, and I used some like that non-slip like shelf liner stuff. You know what I'm talking about? At least that's what I've always called it. Like, you know, that rubbery stuff that you like might like set a sheet of in on a shelf, like a cabinet shelf. You know what I'm talking about?
The what?
Like non-skid stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So I set I got that glued to the bottom brick, and then I did not glue to the top. I just kind of cut to the form of the top and just set on there. Then my dad gave me a shelf that he's got from an old entertainment unit that he wasn't using, and the shelf kind of clashes in color, but I will I'll probably get some shelf to replace it. But that's the nice thing. Like I was like looking for like a full, like I just couldn't find something to raise it up the amount I needed. So that's, you know,
it would hold that weight.
That would hold that weight. So yeah. So I've got the SVHS player that we got from that medical facility, which by the way,
what's really funny is I can see the screen from the direct feed in the corner of the stream. Uh-huh. And also on your TV and your PVM. And they're like exactly in sync almost.
I was going to say earlier about the VCR. There was a tape in it, and it says on it SVHS. Or SVD, like I wonder if it's like actually a higher quality tape, because it is an SVHS player.
Mm-hmm.
And then over here, I've got a line running from the output of that PVM running to that one. That's the one we got at the medical facility. From a distance, they both look really similar.
You just had them all on the entire time you're playing tonight?
No, I just turned them on.
Oh, okay.
You can actually see, under there, I've got, OSSC, connected to the output of the, of that PVM. So that I can have OSSC capture, whatever I feel like.
Right.
So.
And we'll be good for like dual streams if you need to.
Yeah. Exactly. So, got some options here. You might see that I raised up the, put the PlayStation consoles on risers. So I've got room to expand. Well, I did expand, sort of. And, so things have to go vertical. Where that basket is over there, under the Saturn, is probably where the PC Engine is going to go. Those are my HD RetroVision cables sitting over there. I need to figure out
a way to work them in.
Yeah, I know what I'm going to do. I just
it's good. You know, you're probably doing the same thing as I do, where you have the front of our switcher has the component inputs, and you can like hot swap systems into it.
Yeah, but I'm probably going to put the HD RetroVision cables in the back of the switcher. I just didn't have. I really, to make good use of them, I needed to have my component setup settled for the PVM. So that's kind of why I haven't had them hooked up. Also, I'm kind of like scared to like put them behind the system to some extent, because it's like, well, what if I need to like take them out and like use them somewhere else or something? So I'm a little scared of making them inconvenient to get to, but I'll probably be all right.
Yeah, Jimmy Happa says, I wish I had space to display my video game junk too.
You might notice right there, over behind me there, is a gap between my Genesis games and my Super Famicom games. I was actually conflicted about where to put this, but that is my first PC Engine / TurboGrafx game sitting in a nail polish rack because I decided, you know, here's the thing.
Wait, you got one?
Yeah, I got Bomberman 93.
Oh, right.
I decided, you know, here, let me grab it.
Probably wish you hung on to that DB Electronics thing now.
Yeah, I mean, I ultimately haven't decided what RGB route I'm going to take with it. See, I got this is a different rack than the ones that we had in the Game Boy Display episode. It's less tall. It fits on my shelf. It's not not very deep, and it's all one thing. It's pre-assembled. There's no you don't assemble it yourself. Like this is all.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah, it's a continuous piece of plastic. This one was only $12, so it was a really cheap one.
I could maybe get some use out of something like that.
Yeah, and it fits on my shelf, so that's why I got it. But I bought some card sleeves for Hue cards, and I remember I forget who it was, but last week someone in the chat was like, "No, don't buy card only TurboGrafx games." And it's like, you know, like why not give those games a loving home? Because who wants incomplete?
Oh, a lot of people do, but I think if you're like really into it, like I don't have any loose ones.
I'm not like super into TurboGrafx, and it's expensive as it is, so I'd rather save some money. But here's my Bomberman i3. I really like the label art on it. But yeah, so I'm going to put them there. Actually, I really liked this case, and I experimented putting my Game Boy Advance games in it. And let's see, can I maybe raise my camera enough that you can see back there? No, not quite. I went ahead and bought two more of these racks so that I could put Game Boy Advance games in, because using the two acrylic racks that we had shown in that episode, I could have only gotten, you know, probably four more Game Boy games or Game Boy Advance games without running into space troubles. So I decided to go ahead and separate Game Boy Advance and Game Boy. And I've got the Game Boy Advance underneath in, you know, this identical rack. And so that looks kind of neat. So now I've got plenty of room to expand Game Boy and Game Boy Advance, should I so desire. Which, you know, I don't know if I'll be expanding those hugely, but to some extent, sure. But TurboGrafx, you know, I'm excited to play some of your stuff when I'm there, because I just don't really know what I want. I mean, the reason I got Bomberman 9-3 is because I've got on the Wii U Virtual Console, so I'm like, well, that was all right. I was kind of in a Bomberman mood because on the Backloggery stream, we just, I don't have it, but we just played Saturn Bomberman, which kind of got me in a Bomberman frame of mind. So I was like, oh, you know what? I'll buy Bomberman 93. You know, Bomberman 94 was ported to Genesis/Mega Drive. And the cover for that has Bomberman riding on a green kangaroo. I don't know. I think that's pretty cool. So I don't know. I'm kind of curious about that too now.
Have we played around with the Garo yet? That's the one that does RGB 2 component, right? Or no, component to RGB.
Is it
RGB? The B Harbros.
It's not a Dreamcast box. It's something else, right?
No, I think that it's just component to RGB. And I guess that just shows that no, we have not. We've not messed around with it yet. We'd like to. I mean, it'd be cool. No, the Garo is a Dreamcast box. No, it's not. I know. It's Garo is the component to RGB box.
Okay.
I think that'd be cool to have.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume, given the quality of the Dreamcast box, it's probably better than your typical solution for that, I would guess.
Right. I mean, that'd be cool. I would, you know.
Well, Toro is one of the Dreamcast boxes. They've got several. Like, there's one called, like, Kuro, I think.
Yeah.
But the Toro is kind of like the premium one. The only reason you would really need the Toro is if you need 480p over SCART. It's like really the only reason you need the Toro, which is exactly what we need. So, you know, I was having maybe you can help me troubleshoot. I test the Dreamcast extensively, but it was the one system and what I've tested so far that didn't look right.
It's kind of yellow.
It's yellow. Is yours yellow?
No, mine's not yellow. It's just when it's in 480p, it's like off center quite a bit. There's like kind of
it's definitely yellow, like a little yellow on mine.
Well, wait till you see mine, and maybe you're seeing something that I'm not.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's only like I didn't even test the game yet. I was just looking at the Dreamcast main menu, which, you know, is a white background. It was very yellow, and I was like, I double checked other systems just to be sure. I double checked GameCube again, you know, just to make sure it wasn't like a 480p thing. And no, it's yellow. Oh, Blade Blur says, I had a yellow issue, but it was the issue on my SCAR cable. Got a better one that works better. But it's not yellow on the FrameMeister. And this is like a nice SCAR cable I'm using, too. That's weird.
I have this kind of interesting SCAR cable I use for my Dreamcast. It's like one of the longer ones I have. It's flat.
Huh.
It's flat and wide.
Interesting. Well, anything else?
No, I think that's gonna do it. So stay tuned for what we're doing next week.
Yep,
maybe we'll start early. Who knows what we'll do?
And it'll be in person. We'll have some fun with it.
Yeah,
and
yeah, I mean,
and we'll be making some progress on a variety of episodes that I think people will be very interested to see. And otherwise, we're look for the next episode is probably going to be a multi-game episode from Corey that's going to be a theme.
Yeah,
you might not expect.
Yeah, we're both going to be in it. But it's
you're editing it.
I'm editing it. Yeah, it's not something you prior expecting. Should we say what time period it comes from?
It is going to be more modern than what we normally do.
Yeah, it's kind of a new idea. We've kind of had fun around. You never know.
It just kind of hit us, and we're like, that sounds like a lot of fun. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So
we're gonna cover it. We're gonna cover a bunch of games. We were thinking like it's gonna be very game sack-ish, I think.
It could be.
It could be, but that's not a bad thing.
No, not at all. It'll be like I guess what I mean is it's gonna be like quicker, you know, for each game. What we do, because it's gonna be probably covering like at least 8 games.
At least.
Yeah, 8 to 10 probably.
Yeah. Even 11.
it'll be interesting. And then after that, unless Corey squeezes in something extra, will probably be Game Boy RGB. Game Boy RGB is gonna be my next thing. I'm committing to it, saying it now. Yeah. Game Boy RGB is the next episode I edit.
Yeah.
Unless there, I discover something that like is like, oh my gosh, there's no way I can do this episode without including this thing. But I've been working up to this episode all year long, so I feel like there's not going to be something that throws me off. But unless there's like something that I'm like, I have to include this, but you know, I need to wait on something.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty, you've already like gone through most of the stuff at this point. Yeah. To do it.
Yeah.
You have like a majority of the script written.
Well, no majority, but some of the more complicated parts are already written.
That's a good feeling to have.
What about those backlit Game Boy colors you linked me to? I don't think I'll cover it specifically, but I do have possession. I am borrowing a original model Game Boy Advance with the backlit SP screen in it, and it looks phenomenal. Which I think is what you said those screens were, which kind of seems weird because how would that even fit in a Game Boy Color? But I don't understand. So I might mention that in passing when I show the regular Game Boy Advance with the backlit screen. But, you know, and that's another thing that we need to look into that I have not done a lot of research on yet regarding Game Boy screens is some people swear that the 101 screen is awful. They say that it runs at a bad refresh rate, and you can see this juddering. That is, I'm willing to accept that maybe that is the case on some, but it's not the case on mine. Some people say that maybe it's a lower refresh rate, and you can see some ghosting. I mean, it doesn't look. I mean, we're talking a screen from 2004. Like, the thing looks freaking phenomenal for the age it is. I don't know. I guess there's a little blur, but what I'm unsure of is when people are talking about the blur, they're also talking about some judder, and it is not there. There's a part in the catacombs. I've got a save in the catacombs of Castlevania Circle of the Moon, and the character moves at the exact pace, and there's several long walkways where I am saved at in there, and I just walk that slow pace, and I can see frame hitches on certain other things. You know, I can see plenty of frame hitches on the Game Boy Player. I could see them on the Wide Boy. They are not there on the 101 SP, at least not mine. Some people act like it runs at a bad refresh or something, and maybe there's some that exist. I do not know, but mine is fine.
I just saw a notification pop up on my phone of a comment on one of our videos, and the comment looking on my phone, I just said. I thought the comment was cool vid, bad tips, and I thought like, oh man, what RGB or tips and tweaks are they not gonna are they gonna be annoyed by?
Uh-huh.
And I look at it, it's like how to the bosses of Dark Souls 2, how to beat. It's like, oh, okay.
That is okay. That's like kind of the point of that video.
Yeah.
Like that video was recorded on my one and only playthrough of Dark Souls 2. And like, I am not like, amazing or anything at Dark Souls. So it was, I kind of expected that to be bad. So yeah, the beauty of that series is like, you can play good and you can play bad. It doesn't really matter. It works either way.
It's always a relief, though. It's like, all right. Do we plan to review the NES Classic Edition? Yeah, I mean, we'd like to get it just like as soon as it's possible. As soon as we can get our hands on it, that'll be prioritize it.
You know, so a number of people have already gotten their hands on it, and, you know, I just don't think we're anywhere.
Yeah, in really the league. Like taking the wind out of our sails on it.
But. Yeah, we just aren't in the same league to get one early. You know, unfortunately, but we're going to look at it as soon as we can, because if if we don't, it's going to be this big glaring hole that people are going to ask us about forever. So,
right.
It'll you know, be it, easy. It's going to be simple.
It would be awesome if like somehow we got one pre-release, but there's like zero chance. We are nowhere near.
I mean, honestly, we could probably write the script based on what we've already seen. And then once we get the unit, like just verify that, yep. Everything we thought about was exactly true.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I looked at the videos and I can already tell you what, you know, what kind of scaling, what kind of issues, you know, you've got the, you know, you've either got integer mode that's too skinny or you've got non-integer mode that, there's the correct aspect ratio, but the horizontal pixel sizing is uneven. But whether that creates noticeable judder in like-for-like situations compared to high-def NES or AVS?
See, it's interesting, though. And it's like, you know, you pick this up just from watching, like, those Game Explain videos.
Mm-hmm. I mean...
Like, they had no idea. And, you know, like, somebody else was saying, you know, like, comparing the sound, and the sound was, like, incorrect on the Mini as well, I guess.
Oh, really?
I heard
the sound was better than the VC.
It sounds, like, better, but it's incorrect, I guess.
Was it? Like, what do they mean by incorrect?
Like, it's not supposed to sound, like, that loud.
Well, any...
Or the way...
What do you mean by loud?
I don't know. I remember how it was...
Like, but, NES, like, I don't, like, the default volume does tend to be a little high, I think, but.
I don't know. I think it might be, like, too trebly or something. I don't know.
Well, anyway.
Anyways.
We'll see
gonna do
you
it.
All in person, or at least Corey and I will be in person, next Sunday. And, yeah, we'll,
We'll see you then.
Good night.
Good night.